The issue of the economy certainly has been a tall order since the outbreak of COVID-19 and its impact at every stage of American life and around the globe. And while certainly there are many, many Americans that are suffering significantly because of what's going on economically in our country, and many people that have been on the unemployment rolls and the additional stipend run out, and so the challenges of trying to make ends meet, particularly here in the Bay Area. Well, if you think it's difficult for us here in the United States, imagine a country like India that so often has so many people living right on the edge of poverty and hunger. 12 months out of the year, COVID-19 notwithstanding. Now add into the mix the impact of COVID-19, and what you wind up with is a mixture that is deadly. And it's not just India. It's many parts of the world. In fact, in cooperation with International Day for the Eradication of Poverty, a new report that has come out by the United Nations indicates that worldwide, there are some 375 million children alone that are living under crushing poverty. To get some insights, we're joined by Danny Yohannan, Vice President of Gospel for Asia, and great to have you back with us.
Thank you. It's good to be back again.
This is a challenge, and certainly, Danny, as I mentioned, it's been exacerbated in many parts of the world because of COVID-19, but when you think about the number of children that live under poverty, for whom even the challenge of finding healthy meals on a day-to-day basis has become so challenging, this is particularly disturbing, especially with the added impact of COVID-19.
You know, exactly. When you think about the normal day in life of many individuals in some of these developing nations, like India or Nepal, Sri Lanka, and some of these other surrounding countries where, you know, Gospel for Asia does what we do to help some of the poorest in the entire world, it is devastating because it without COVID-19, you already have tremendous challenges and difficulties of people just trying to barely get by and trying to just provide food on the table for their families. You know, many of the daily laborers make less than a dollar or two a day to somehow use that to provide for their families. And then on top of all of the struggles and challenges that exist already, you have the added complication of COVID-19. And it's not just COVID-19, it's the lockdowns, it's the inability to find work. And so, you know, in our country here, we have our own challenges, you know, whether it's education and students trying to figure out how to continue their studies, or it's trying to make it to the grocery store to find, you know, toilet paper or basic food items. We have our own challenges here, or businesses just trying to barely stay open, families trying to pay rent. And so none of those things should be neglected. But for here, many times it falls in the category of inconvenience, even though for many it is devastating inconvenience. For millions and millions of people in places like India, it is not just the inconvenience, but for example, you literally have millions and millions of daily laborers and migrant workers who are from other parts of the country who literally have no work anymore. And they're not able to stay the places that they were working, and so they're making their way back to their homes, crisscrossing the entire nation. You know, many of them have not eaten for days. Many of them are just walking. Many of them are riding bicycles or taking cycle rickshaw, you know, carts to get back home. We met a family where the husband had pedaled his rickshaw bicycle with a little wagon on the back with the family 1,200 miles. When we met him, and they hadn't had food for quite a while. We met kids who hadn't had food for 4 days. It's just heartbreaking to realize that because of COVID-19, the biggest threat to life right now is not the death of you know, the sickness, but it is literally starvation, where you would normally have in cities like Mumbai or Delhi or Calcutta, you would have just millions of people who would not only do, you know, scavenging work among the trash to find plastic and other items that they could sell, but, you know, beggars. There is no one to beg from. If you don't have anyone to beg from, then, I mean, how do you survive? And so just a crisscrossing the entire nation, it is extremely, extremely challenging. Then on top of that, you have all these kids. Either their schools are completely on pause, which means you're talking about an entire year where no one is advancing to higher education, going to the workforce. In some of the villages, because of the lockdown, there are teachers who have gone to the middle of the village with megaphones, and all the kids are sitting on the porches trying to do their studies because there's no electricity out in the villages. There's no internet. There's, even if you have a cell phone, you can't Zoom into your class. Many of the families, they may have one phone to the name of the entire family, so which child gets to try to Zoom in for their class? I mean, these are real difficult, challenging problems which have devastating effects on their future. And, you know, like you said, you know, 375 million children are living in crushing poverty. This is just not inconvenience. This is life and death situations that we are dealing with right now.
And as you point out, you know, we bemoan the challenges that we face here in the United States and in the West. And then you begin to realize that it's taken what was a difficult situation in many parts of the world and multiplied it many, many times over. And sadly, as you point out, the ones that suffer the most are children. And so often in many nations, either the resources or the infrastructure is not there for any sort of safety net. So unlike the United States, where we have not only government agencies, but also private agencies, organizations, food banks, Bay Area Rescue Mission, organizations like this that help people that are dealing with poverty, many parts of the world, such rescue efforts or safety nets, that's the word I'm looking for, such safety nets just simply don't exist. We're coming up into the holidays here, Danny. I know a lot of people don't realize it or maybe are not ready for it, but before we know it, the holidays, Christmas in specific, are going to be here. And the idea of us being able to maybe do something different, considering the amount of suffering going on around the world. Tell me briefly, how can folks here in the San Francisco Bay Area partner with organizations like Gospel for Asia to help relieve some of the suffering?
Yeah, you know, this is end of the year and beginning of the year. It just seems like, oh man, so many holidays stacked on top of each other, and people use and waste a lot of resources that they normally wouldn't, you know, if they were thinking correctly in their brains, they wouldn't do that. I mean, you got upcoming Halloween, which is supposed to be All Hallows Eve for Christians, and then you got, you know, Thanksgiving, then you got Christmas, then you got New Year's, then you got St. Patrick's Day, and you got Valentine's Day. I mean, just it's like a whole slew of just like expectations for presents and celebrations and parties, and yet, you know, in the celebrations we forget that half the world is just trying to barely survive. And the desperate need for them to experience the love of Christ, which we celebrate every Sunday, they are waiting to hear about that for the very first time. And, you know, my heart, my passion, and along with Gospel for Asia, we have one focus, which is people that never heard about Christ, have not experienced Christ, need to have at least the chance once in their lifetime to be able to know what Christ has done for them. And that's Gospel for Asia's heart. And so I would encourage people to go to gfa.org and check out what we are doing among some of the most poor in the entire world. You know, leading up from now till Christmas, we have our Christmas catalog campaign or career campaign where we help these families who are in great need, these desperate needed families, with life-changing gifts that can help assist and break the cycle of poverty. And we've helped hundreds of thousands of families each year with gifts like buffaloes and chickens and sewing machines and clean water projects. Most people don't realize that Gospel for Asia puts in more clean water projects, I believe, than anyone else in the entire world. And that's something that we just keep doing it because it has such incredible effects. You talk about children being in great need, providing clean water in the village for these kids brings hope and healing and healthier lives to all these kids and the families. So if people would like to learn more about what Gospel for Asia is doing, go to gfa.org and you can see how you can pray for us, you can partner with us, and how your life can make a difference by standing with us, especially during this time.
And again, information available online at gfa.org. Think of Gospel for Asia, gfa.org. Our thanks to Danny Yohannan, Vice President of Gospel for Asia, for that update.